The reality is, I talk to a ton of people that are overwhelmed with their circumstances to the point there is no way they could be living in the promises of our God. And that, you'll see, is clearly what God intends for us to do, is to live in the promises that He gives us. We're just a journeying through here. This is not the main event. It is not the end of the journey. It's just a matter of portion of the trip, and it's only a small part of that relative to eternity. Joshua 1:1-5, we're going to read it. In fact, I just want you to follow along. I'll read it in a pace. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. First of all, let me just say, Moses was a great man of God that God had used to go back and take the people out of captivity in Egypt and bring them to the promised land. Now, because of a group of rebellious people, he was able to bring them to the entrance to it. He sent in some spies, and all but two of them gave bad reports. They said, no, we can't do this. They're too big, they're too more powerful, and we can't win. And the people sided with the ten. And God judged that whole generation. He put them into the wilderness for 40 years, and they died there, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, those two. Now, it is at that point, Moses himself, because of his own rebellion, doesn't get to go into the promised land. And now, Joshua had been prepped for the leadership, but there appears to have been a sense in which his mourning and the people's mourning over the loss of Moses stopped them. You ever been overwhelmed by the bad circumstances that you've experienced? Man, I tell you, bad circumstances can take us low. It can take us low, and it can take us low for a long time if we allow it. No, there's a need for us to mourn properly in certain situations. That's for sure. It's got part of God's plan. But there are, just as much as that's part of the plan, there's a time to say, you know what, enough is enough. Notice what he says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, so he spoke to him in positive terms, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, listen, think about God speaking to Joshua. Why would he say that? He would only say it because Joshua was overwhelmed with it. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Moses always is the one that told us where to go and when to do this, when to do that. What are we going to do? I don't think we can go on. That had to have been what was going on. And so the messenger of the Lord comes, or Lord himself, it says here, comes and speaks to Joshua and says, now listen. You know, I think of some of my grandkids when they kind of lose it, and you just grab them, and you say, now, you know, it's a good time to just calm down, get a grip, okay, and obey. And that's what God was doing with Joshua here. Okay, before I labor that anymore, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. That's a huge, huge area, which, by the way, they never did claim yet. There will be a day when they do. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Boy, this is a powerful passage. I'll tell you what, when I read it just earlier this week, I was stirred. I was stirred about the opportunities that lie ahead. Not the challenges, no, the opportunities. Not mulling in some of the other challenges that we didn't do so well. No, I'm looking forward to the challenges that God is going to provide the victory. Moses, my servant, is dead. Is a significant truth. It is reminding Joshua that you can't live in the past. And I'm reminding you here, you can't live in your past either. No matter how ugly it is and you want to just forget it, I'm telling you, forget it. Close the coffin is the verse, the word that had down the point. And a lot of people need to do that in a very serious way. And you can take all of the psychology you want, but you know what? God says it's your responsibility to step up and live for Him. And just get over yourself. The second point is found in the third verse. The first one is close the coffin. When Joshua was told by God, Moses is dead. Get over it. In verse 3, he says, I will give you every place where you set your feet. You know what he was saying to him? Get up and get with God's program. Get with my program. Get up out what you've been called to do. How many people spend most of their time moaning and groaning about where they've been instead of excited about where they're going? And we need to just be excited no matter where we are in this journey, whether we're just starting it or whether we've been on it for years. Because I'll tell you what, it is a blessing to be walking with Jesus. Another truth, no one is going to do it for you. That's not God's way. God's way is for you and I to recognize we have a responsibility to Him, if we're one of His, because what He has already accomplished by dying on a cross, paying the price for our sins, and rising again from the dead. That's victorious truth. And we need to get up and live like victors. When I say that, I think of this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, was read earlier tonight. In all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. Now, who are we? Who's the we in this verse? It's every single one of us that knows Jesus. If you know Jesus, you're in this, and God refers to you as a conqueror. One who is victorious, in other words. Not one who is defeated yet. So many people walk around, oh, woe is me, I can't make it. Shame on you, ought to repent of your sin. We serve a great God, and He is greater than your problem. And we need to use our energy to serve Him. Verse 5 in that same passage, the first part of it says this, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. You know what? I think of another verse, Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He is promising us that if we are going His way, we're doing His work, we do not have to fear about having the power to accomplish it. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Even face very, very difficult challenges. Challenges that are unquestionably bigger than we are. But that's the point. We're not in it alone. The Creator, Sustainer, God of the universe is with us. So, close the coffin to the past. And then get up and get with God's program. This is a decision you and I have to make. We ought to make it afresh tonight. I have. I'm excited about tomorrow, and I'm excited about the day after that. I'm excited what life holds. Claim the promise. He ends this little pericope, this little paragraph, with this statement. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, those of us that read Scripture recognize those verses, those words. We don't normally associate it with Joshua. We associate it with a verse in Hebrews. And that claim, that promise, is to every one of us that's a genuine believer. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, He does not promise that it would be easy here. Literally, in John chapter 16, verse 33, He says, in the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And then He tells us we're conquerors. What is He saying to us? He is not saying He's going to take us out of difficult situations. He's going to see us through them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Two things to take note of in that verse, I'm quoting from the Psalms, is this. You're walking through it. And number two, it's a shadow. It really isn't the frightening thing that we would think. It also says in Matthew chapter 20, this is 28, the end of the first gospel. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know what He's saying? He's not leaving us. He's right with us. No matter what's going on. You know, J.R. and Kathy, I hear of your situation, and it's just stunning, you know, the things that are brought your way. But I can say with confidence, God is never leaving you. And I rejoice in the fact that look at where the two of you are today versus where you were 5 years ago. And the sweetness that you have together. And I think of Mike and Cindy. Look what God's done in your life. Not that you haven't had heartbreaks. You've had tons of them. But there he is. God has a way of taking these very difficult journeys. And there's a beauty in the midst of it. And that should be an encouragement to every one of us, no matter where we are. We might still be in the valley, but God has a way of seeing us through. I'm going to just remind us of the three things. One, turn the page on the past. Get up and get with God's program and claim the promise. Amen.